In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today. Man, are we going to have a great show today. It is a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. That's right. And today's song is Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys. So you may have to go and look that one up, but it's an awesome song. Can't wait to dive into it today to connect this song to our faith and our everyday lived experience. Again, Beacon of Truth playlist episode today, Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys. And of course, we would love to hear from you today. You can give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com. And now you can text your questions to 1-833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Well, the show that we had the other day on marriage generated a lot of comments and questions. I can share a couple of them with you from our listeners, from the people of the Beacon of Truth family. First of all, a wonderful comment here from a listener. Hello, Deacon Harold. I love your show. Thank you for helping me grow in my faith. Your topic tonight is holy matrimony. My beloved husband died suddenly in January 2022. I miss him dearly. I just wanted to say we married very young when I was pregnant with his child. I was so grateful that he and I were both Catholic. He wanted to do the right thing, and we got married. We ended up having 3 daughters and 1 son. Of course, we had many struggles. Too much too soon, marriage, 4 kids in 5 years. My husband worked a full-time job and also played guitar and sang for Mass, first and foremost. He also played in many bands. So I love hearing you guys talk music. Oh, that's so awesome. 7 years before my Larry died, we were invited to serve on a marriage ministry team called the Third Option. It was through the Des Moines Diocese. Being on that team taught us both so much about ourselves and each other. Our marriage really flourished from being part-time in the Third Option ministry. We were able to work out so many disagreements and learn how to communicate in love and charity. We were married for almost 44 years. I am now so lonely. I long to be married again, please God. So that's my story, Barb. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And that's the thing when you're, and because marriage is hard. I tell you right now, we've said this many times when we talk about the sacrament of matrimony, that it is hard. And it takes work, we have to live our spirituality in marriage from the cross of Christ. It's breaking open and pouring ourselves out to others, always willing the good of the other. The marriage is never about you. It's about the gift you can be to your spouse, right? And sometimes, when there's, especially when the kids are young, especially as Barb's situation, Barb and Larry having 4 kids in 5 years and all that, and job and struggles and bills and all those kinds of things come to play on that marriage. And plus the communication styles of men and women are typically very different. So all of that comes together. But we have to remember that God gives you the grace. If you cooperate with the grace, if you say yes to the grace, if you work hard at your marriage, then God will give you the grace to get through the most difficult times and roughest challenges. And hopefully you'll have a beautiful marriage, just like Barb and Larry did. So thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and your story with us. And hopefully that will encourage other couples that may be struggling to also get help in their marriages as well. And from another listener here, a question. Hi, Deacon. My husband and I were married in the church. The priest said that we had a double dispensation as my husband wasn't a baptized Catholic at the time we married. He was not practicing any religion at the time, but became Catholic 2 years after we were married. The other dispensation was because we were married during Lent. It's been 19 years since, and now I'm questioning the validity of our marriage. And then she has a second part. My husband seldom attends Mass, even if I ask him. He always has some excuse, and it makes me and my daughter feel bad. What should I do? God bless you. Okay, let's do the first one first. So when we talk about the validity of marriage, the church looks at three things: consent, form, and capacity. So consent, you have to give your free-willed consent to enter into the marriage union, right? So it can't be shotgun wedding, you know, where someone's pregnant. Oh, I'm gonna marry them because they're pregnant. I mean, you can do that, but that could invalidate the marriage if you really. Otherwise, if the woman wasn't pregnant, you wouldn't get married. But you're doing it, so that's not really free, because you kind of feel like I have to do this because I want to take responsibility. Or a prenuptial agreement would be not a form of consent because it's not free, that kind of thing. So consent form, Catholics are bound to follow the Catholic form of marriage, which is in a church with a bishop, priest, or deacon as a witness to the marriage. Because, of course, we know that the sacrament is exchanged between the man and the woman, between the husband and the wife. They exchange the vows with each other. The person's officiating, again, bishop, priest, or deacon, is there as a witness on behalf of the church. All right. And the other one is capacity. Did you have the capacity to be able to enter into the marriage? So if you have if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict or something like that, and you said, yes, I want to do this, but you were under the influence, or maybe there's some developmental delay or something like that, or you physically could not be able to engage in an act of in a conjugal act. Not saying that you can get pregnant, but you have to be able to engage in the act that shows the intent of procreating. You know, so if that can't happen, so that's another capacity issue. So if it's not one of those three things, it does not affect the validity of your marriage. All right. So, yeah, dispensations is different than validity. So if your husband was Christian, you said he wasn't baptized Catholic, but if he was Christian, it would still be a valid marriage, because it's not two Catholics that make the valid marriage, it's two Christians. And you said you got married in the church, so the form issue wasn't an issue there. So, and the other one is during Lent. I have to double check with canon law, but there are what's called privileged seasons, and I think Lent is one of them where you're really not supposed to get married during Lent. But again, I think you can get a dispensation for that. But again, it doesn't affect the validity of the marriage. So the second part, I have a lot of wives that have this issue, sadly, with their husbands who are lukewarm in their faith, makes all these excuses why he doesn't go to church. Probably I can worship God any way that I want, or I'm a good person. Well, there are a lot of good people in hell. That being a good person is not the criteria for getting to heaven. You have to actually live your faith with passion and conviction. His job is to lead you and your daughter to heaven. That's his job. To die to himself, to break himself open and pour himself out in love as he's leading you. That's why he's the head of the family, because he's the chief servant of you and your daughter. That's what he's supposed to be doing. But again, some men get lazy in their faith, and they don't understand what it means to be a man, or they're bringing stuff from their past, maybe what happened in their family, and they're carrying on that same pattern. Well, you know, Jesus came to break the cycle of sin. He came to break the cycle. So for example, in my case with my dad, I don't think there was any men in my family that were committed to one woman for life. I mean, they had multiple children from multiple women. In fact, my father has six brothers and a sister, and I think there's three different fathers involved in that kind of situation. So I broke that generational cycle by being married to my amazing, awesome, beautiful, loving wife for almost 32 years, you know, and that's unprecedented in my family. you know, and so, but I'll just be real. I mean, when I first got married, I didn't know really a whole lot about what I was doing. I was just kind of just trying to figure it out as I went along. And it really took patience and it counseling and, you know, things. I had to really work on understanding my faith better, the example of St. Joseph, to really understand what it means to be a husband and a father. And so, pray and fast for your husband and see if there's another man in the parish and get him involved in a men's group like That Man Is You or something like that, and see if you can kind of kickstart his faith. All right, Beacon of Truth playlist, Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys. That's our song today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah.
Gotta crank it up on the playlist days.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. See, that's a kind of a four on the floor thing, but like with a little bit country feel there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and the thing I like about today's song is you could either go Soggin' Body Boys or you could go Charm City Devils. Both versions very different from each other. So you just pick the one that speaks most to you because the lyrics is a soulful thing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah, I can't wait to dive into this song. Like I said, I had to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, but when it's one of those things like, oh, wait a minute, I think I know that song. But you have to listen. Oh, yeah, that one. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those songs that makes you want to watch the movie again, or at least it does for me.
Yeah.
And so that's what I have to, like, not listen to it. And then, or like in this case, I'll probably go home and watch it today just because it's been top of mind awareness. But I love songs that do that. Like Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. I have to watch Breakfast Club. Gosh, there's a handful of other ones like that I can name. But yeah, just when it triggers you that way, Man in Motion by John Parr makes me want to watch San Elmo's Fire. So, you know, another song that we should probably dive into, because the whole idea of, you know, you can break the boy in me, but you can't break the man. Like, there's a lot to pick apart in songs like that, you know. So gotta love a good soundtrack.
That's for sure. That's for sure. That's so awesome. I'm Deacon Hal Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's a Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're taking a look at Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys. And I would love to hear from you as we dive into this song and talk a little bit about the background, but also, of course, take a look at the lyrics and see how we can connect them to our everyday lived experience and deepen our relationship with the Lord. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as we celebrate this week, we, of course, want to lift up prayers for Modern Day Radio, three stations serving Eugene, Portland, Vancouver, Salem, Oregon, kicks off their spring share-a-thon on Monday. So live the peace of Christ no matter where you live. Of course, supporting Catholic radio is a must, but live the peace of Christ, kind of a mantra we all can adopt. But in the midst of that, keeping Modern Day Radio in our prayers next week as they enter into their spring share-a-thon with EWTN Radio.
All right. Yeah, that's my local station here, Modern Day Radio. So that's pretty awesome. They often ask me to help out with those, but I'm usually not in town. So,
of course you're not.
Yeah. All right. So this song. All right. Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys. Some of you may be scratching your head like, what? What? Like, what song is that? You know, the song is actually fairly old, but there was renewed interest in the song after the film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou came out.
Yeah.
What year was that? Do you remember, Ace? Was that the...
Oh, goodness.
That's like 20...
You put me on the spot.
...years ago or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute because, I mean, it's been around long enough that it's probably, what, 20 years maybe?
Yeah, at least 20 years, from what I can remember. So I think I might just have been...
It was 2000, yeah. So 26.
This is right after I got, not too long after I got married or something like that.
Yeah, so 2000, so 26 years.
Oh, 2000, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. And so that the song was kind of important to the plot of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, The film, let's see, I think it won a Grammy. I know it was a platinum-selling soundtrack. It did win a Grammy for Best Country Collaboration at the Grammy Awards in 2002.
Yeah. Which ironically,
so it was a very popular song.
Which ironically, George Clooney, who comes from the lineage of Rosemary Clooney, who had an amazing voice.
Oh, yeah.
White Christmas for you kids, if you don't remember her. But when he came in to audition for that role, they were like, you're going to have to sing. And he's like, oh, great, I got this. And he came in and sang, and they're like, oh, that's terrible. So that's when he had to lip sync to what ended up in the movie. And so a lot of people are like, wow, he really can sing. No, 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 that's not him.
Well, you know who can sing is, what's his name? The guy that does all those musicals. He was Wolverine in the X-Men series.
Oh, yeah, Hugh Jackman.
I think he really, because he's been in several musical
movies. He's been on Broadway, so he's got the voice.
Okay, that's really him singing there.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, yeah, so in this film, you know, it's more of a country song, you know, but again, very popular, won a Grammy. And you said there was another group that also did a cover of this, right?
Yeah, so Charm City Devil's kind of a metal version. Just, you know, doing it with the ominous of, you know, with like filters, and then it builds and like big drums. And so it's very different. So again, that's the thing I love about covers is when a band owns it, like, okay, we're not going to, you know, emulate the original. We want to make it our own. So of course the melody is the same, but it's just in their vein. So if you're not a country bluegrass person, but you like it more on the harder side, that would be a version. Because again, the lyrics, I think, speak to pretty much where all of us have been at some point. And that's what I think is the allure of the movie is, I mean, the wit is there, which, you know, part of it lives rent-free in my head with lines like, you know, oh, this is a geographical paradise, 2 weeks away from everywhere, you know, things like that that just resonate. You're like, that you can connect. And George Clooney and the whole cast is just amazing. But I love when a movie connects when statistically based on what else was on the screen in 2000 didn't necessarily line up. And you're like, how is this movie so successful? How is this soundtrack the one that everybody's talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah. I love how movies and songs connect art.
Yep.
Right? Because I think art speaks to beauty, which is one of the transcendentals, right? Truth, beauty, and goodness.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what the human heart is longing for. So I think that's why movies and art and artwork and music and other kind of really artistic expressions really speak to people, really touch people, which I think why people connect with this show when we talk about music, you know, because it's not just we're not a music show, but, you know, but music touches people in so many ways, even parts of their lives. And to be able to connect that with our faith, I think it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, I would love to hear from you today. This is a song, A Man of Constant Sorrow. So we're going to start going through the lyrics, but would love to hear from you. Maybe you are in a place of sorrow. You know, maybe you were depressed or struggling with depression or struggling with a deep sadness from something that maybe happened in the past or something that you're going through, or maybe a rocky patch in your marriage or struggling with your kids. And, you know, and you've been praying to God. Like, this reminds me so much of David in the Psalms, where he cries out to the Lord, you know, just pouring his heart out. Lord, you know, I love you. Why is this happening? I don't understand. Mm. You know, help me. How did God bring you out of that place of constant sorrow to begin to show you his light and to begin to show you his peace as we walk through this song, Man of Constant Sorrow, on a Beacon of Truth playlist episode today? We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So let's start diving into the lyrics here, Ace.
Yeah.
So, in constant sorrow all through his days. That's the way it starts off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many times have we not been that?
It's setting the tone.
Yeah. How many times have we not been that? Like, you're in the midst, like, you've seen it almost every day. And really, if we let ourselves in a headspace, we find sorrow in the day, and then we just stay in that.
Yeah, for example, off the top of my head, like Psalm 28 by David, right? He starts off, "To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me. I shall go down to those in the pit if you are silent to me. It's like David's like, Lord, you know, hello, waving. I am right here, Lord, you know, and I was in constant sorrow all through his days. Kind of sets the tone, you know, for this song. It's called The Man of Constant Sorrow. So what? Why not start off with saying, yeah, I'm constantly in sorrow every day.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people that are in that same situation, kind of sorrowful every day. You know, they're going some mental, physical, emotional, spiritual pain. You know, you wake up in pain, you live the whole day in pain, you go to bed in pain, you get up the next day, wash, rinse, and repeat. You know, and you're struggling to break out of that cycle. You know, you're calling out to God, and it feels like God sometimes is not answering you. So you're almost in this constant state of sadness, you know, but God is calling us to something greater.
Yeah. And for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, I mean, you watch the spiritual journey of some of the characters, too, which I love how the song kind of sets the tone for the rest of the movie as they're trying to do right by what they realize. I've lived a life that's not godly. I've lived a life that is not even humane in some cases, you know, coming out of prison and all the stuff and the people you've hurt and the things that you've done. And no matter where we've come from, again, in God's eyes, a sin is a sin, but we tend to hold on to the biggest one as like the worst thing ever. But ultimately, God redeems all things. But we have to realize that the only way we can find that redemption is through him.
Yes. Amen. And not to give up hope.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the theological virtues is faith, hope, and love. And sometimes when we're going through this this constant sorrow, this we feel like our life is just dragging behind us.
Yep.
You know, like we got this weight that's on us. It's often easy to despair and to lose hope.
Yeah.
You know, which is why, you know, one of the reasons why we Catholics, you know, we have a crucifix. We're not afraid to show Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
Now, we know he's not there. We pray in the Creed every Sunday. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We know that. But most of life is the cross.
Mm.
And there are times where everybody at some point is going to feel the weightiness, feel the heaviness of it. You know, and you ask yourself, how am I going to get past this? Well, the only way you can get past it is with the help of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so again, this is why I turned to the Psalms. I turned to David. I think David understood this, and he speaks to that lived experience that we all go through. That's why I love, in particularly Davidic Psalms, because they're so real.
Yeah.
You know, they get down to where your heart is as a human being made in God's image and likeness.
Yeah, and oftentimes, too, much like this song, you know, the line that says, I bid farewell to old Kentucky where I was born and raised. A lot of times we have to get out of where we've been because even though it might feel familiar, it might feel safe in a lot of ways, it may also be what's holding us back and causing us to stay in the patterns that we're in.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to make a change for the better. You know, and we shouldn't be afraid of change. I mean, I am a person who likes routine.
Yeah.
You know, like when I go for my walk, I do the same route every time. Yeah. I'm very comfortable with that. You know, I have no problem. I see the same people every day and everything. But sometimes you have to change things a little bit because sometimes God needs you in a different place.
Yes.
And you need to be able to trust him that he's leading you someplace.
Yeah.
Someplace greater.
Yeah. My wife used the phrase this morning, pockets of joy. She's like, I need those pockets to get bigger so that I'm living in those rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's great. We should have her on the show one of these days. That'd be fun.
We can do that.
Beacon of Truth playlist episode today, my friends. We're taking a look at a song called Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
I always love it. like when a guitar solo and then the bass line and they're playing the same like note for note, that always blows my mind. I'm like, stop outdoing me.
Yeah, you want mind blowing. It's like the Dream Theater.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Where those guys are doubling.
Every time.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That is just, it's just mind blowing.
Yeah.
Absolutely mind blowing. Like people can be that good on their instrument.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's the kind of thing where you just like, why am I even playing for? What's the point? We just give up.
I'm gonna go over here and just hit the D.
Dun, dun, yeah, yeah. Dun. But there's like Metallica, I think, does a good job, with doubling lines. I mean, not as intricate or as sophisticated as like Dream Theater or something like that, but they do a really good job with a lot of their songs.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. All right. I'm Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today's a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. Today's song is Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys from the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? 2000, released in 2000, featuring George Clooney. The song that we're talking about today actually won a Grammy for country best country collaboration in the 2002 Grammy Awards. So, very popular song, awesome movie. And we're going to take a look at the lyrics to connect into our everyday life. What I love about this, as I look at these lyrics, this so much reminds me of the Psalms. Mm. You know, it's almost like this song is like a psalm, like a modern day psalm, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's very Davidic overtones to me. And so we'll take a look at it as we go through the song. But I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you're going through a time in your life where you're in a state of constant sorrow. You know, whether physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and you feel like, you know, your life is just such, you're feeling the weight and the heaviness. Maybe it's a marriage issue. Maybe it's an issue with your kids. Maybe you're struggling with some kind of physical, mental ailment. And how is God bringing you out of your state of constant sorrow into his beautiful light? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you're looking for great ways to spend your tax return, EWTN Religious Catalog is a great way to do that. And of course, adding books and reading during this Easter season. So check out The Sufferings of the Holy Family, A Family Life of Unity Through Difficult Times. Father Sebastian Walsh giving us all kinds of great insights as we look into the life of Mary and Joseph and what we can learn from that. And so we want to definitely get that in your hands. Check it out. Again, the EWTN Religious Catalog is available at EWTNRC.com.
All right. Very good. Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're taking a look at an awesome song called Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys from the 2000 film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So you might want to take a look at that movie tonight. It's an awesome movie. The song won a Grammy Award back in 2002. And we're going to take a look at the lyrics today to see how they can connect to your life. Again, you may be going through your own state of sorrow, your own heaviness, your own sadness, your own burden that you're carrying. And sometimes you feel like you're alone.
Yeah.
You know, there were times in the Psalms where David was going through something really difficult and he felt that he was alone. For example, Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear grief in my soul, have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy prevail over me? Right? I mean, that's David literally just crying out to the Lord, pouring his heart out to the Lord at a time of sadness and trepidation and anxiety and fear. You know, he didn't wallow in his own stuff. He cried out to the Lord. And sometimes we need to do that as well. Would love to hear your experience, your place of a constant sorrow and how God brought you out of that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
You know, as we look at the lyrics, God works in threes and sevens, right? So I love this line. For six long years, I've seen trouble, no pleasure here on earth I find. So what I want is a verse to be written. What happened in that seventh year? Like, where do we go from the sorrow into that? Because I always like to say, you know, especially in my house is, you know, hey, if something's going wrong, wait 3 days. hey, if you know something weird is happening, wait 7 days. See what God is doing in those numbers that have been faithful, and that he is, you know, and it may not be anything big, but even if nothing else, just a better frame of mind of going, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm just waiting on God to reveal that to me.
Yeah, it says no pleasure here on earth I've found. And that's true. You know, and we talked about this before, how what we need to do is find joy. And joy is not the same thing as happiness, right? Joy is something that comes from the inside out. We exude joy. Happiness is something that comes from the outside in.
Yeah.
Right? So hearing a song will make you happy, or eating chocolate will make you happy, or, you know, going on vacation will make you happy. Those are things that we experience from the outside world that makes its way into us to make us feel a certain way. Joy is something that comes from the outside. But so what I'm saying is that there's nothing on this earth that can really give us true joy. Right. It is a joy that only comes from a deep, intimate relationship with the living God. Right? So it doesn't surprise me. You know, in the lyrics here, no pleasure here on earth I've found. Because you ain't going to find it. Yeah. Again, things on earth will make you happy.
Yeah.
But to really get that deep down joy, you will not find it here. So the person in the lyrics, he has to go deeper.
Yeah.
He has to go deeper in his life.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, when we talk about joy versus happiness, if this world was supposed to be all of the things, then there would be no need for heaven. There would be no longing to go home. And I think that's the other thing to remember, is that we are a spiritual being having a human experience, and we long for better and greater things. But okay, Lord, show me how you want me to best experience this life for your glory. And I think that's the part that we tend to get caught up in. We get caught up in the sorrow. We've talked about this on previous shows, of seeing everything only through our pain. We're not seeing it through the lens of being joyful in the Lord, or being hopeful for what God is taking us to. And to me, I would much rather sit, even if it looks absurd to believers or non-believers, well, Ace, you're not a realist. You're a little too much of that hopeaholic. Well, I like being in that frame of mind, because that's where I find my joy. I don't know what God's got planned a month from now, 6 months from now. I'm just walking and trying to represent him to the best of my ability.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it says, the scripture says, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
You know, the spirit wants to do the right thing. It wants to move toward God. But sometimes concupiscence, you know, the desire to choose things that are not of God, gets in the way. Sometimes the seeking happiness and the things from the world can get in the way. Yeah. In fact, this just came to me. Sometimes I think the pursuit of happiness without being grounded in that interior joy will lead to sorrow.
Yeah.
Because you think that the happiness is going to bring you fulfillment, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so then what's left now? If that's all you're seeking, you get to the end of the road, there's a wall there. What's left? And now you feel despondent, and now you feel hopeless, and now you feel sad, and not because why? You haven't started out with that interior joy. You know, and it says here, you know, for in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me out.
Yeah.
You know, and it reminds me of Psalm 88. You know, it's a collaboration between the sons of Korah and the Ezraite, Haman. It says, friend and neighbor, you have taken away. My one companion is darkness. You know, so we got to really be careful to seek the joy that leads to happiness, and not just seek the happiness without that joy.
Yeah, and then what happens when you get sometimes, or oftentimes, we get to the thing or to the place where we're like, yeah, this is what I've wanted my whole life. And then it doesn't bring us the joy, or it's not what we wanted, because either we have unmet expectations based on someone else's experience, or maybe what we hyped it up or romanticized it in our minds. And then we get there and it's not the fulfillment. And I think a lot of times, I know in my own experience of God's allowed things to happen in my life and shown me, okay, now you have it. Now what are you going to do with it? And then I realized that it was never meant for me. It was me orchestrating, because I thought that's where I was supposed to be, or that was supposed to be the next step of my life. And I was putting the cart before the horse. And we oftentimes do that in our lifetime. And, well, okay, here I am. I got the success. I got the paycheck, or I got the title. I got the relationship. Now, why am I still so miserable? And oftentimes we forget that, are we following after his plan, or are we only doing it based on what either we or the world is saying is next?
Yeah, so true. Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're talking about a great song, Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys, from the 2000 film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, starring George Clooney, amongst others. The song won a Grammy back in 2002. And that's the song we're talking about today, this Man of Constant Sorrow. As we go through the lyrics, you know, we're exploring this person who's seeking, who's longing, who's yearning, but can't get to where he wants to be because it's this heaviness. And maybe you're experiencing a heaviness, a sorrow in your life because of something that you've gone through or something that you're going through right now. And would love to hear from you as we try to connect this song to your everyday lived experience. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, and it, in fact, repeats that line, he has no friends to help him out. And we got to remember that that our friends and people in our lives cannot, they're not a substitute for a relationship with the Lord. Yeah. Yes, we can have really good friendships. We can have really intimate friendships and relationships, but they will never take the place. Even with your spouse, as much as we love our spouses, they can never give us that ultimate fulfillment, that because there's a place that's only reserved in our hearts that's only for God, that God-filled void in your life. And that's what needs to be filled. And I think filling that void will bring fulfillment in the other parts of our life as well.
Yeah, and as this song kind of lays over the storyline of the movie too, you've got these guys who are going back and trying to plug into their life from where they were based on however long that they were gone. And for each of them, it's different. Each experience is different. And everyone else moved on in their life. And these guys are still kind of frozen in time of, well, no, this is where we were 3 years ago or 10 years ago. And, you know, oftentimes that can be another stagnating part of like, okay, Lord, time has passed. Others have gone on. They've healed. They've, you know, moved beyond the hurt that I caused them. What's now for me? And oftentimes we try to re-plug in back into our old circumstances or lifestyle or whatever, and that's not where we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be changed. Time changes us. God changes us when we let it, but recognizing that you can't take new you and plug back into old circumstances and there not be a misfit.
Yeah, you know, and I think sometimes we get stuck there because it's comfortable.
Yep.
That's what we're used to. You know, it's like being stuck in a time warp, you know. It's like trying to bring back fashions from like 20 years ago. You know, it's like, wait, why are you wearing that? Well, this is what I always wore, you know, because it's very comfortable.
Right.
You know, but yeah, but that's not now. but that was coming. But that's one thing when it's close. It's nothing when it's your life.
Yeah.
You know, and God is calling us to more. He's calling us to a deeper level of intimacy, but we're just very comfortable parked in front of the TV, being on social media, playing games on our phones all the time. And, you know, we don't want to be challenged. We're not motivated to go deeper, you know. And I think sometimes getting, and that's why I have to look at the cross. In order to take our faith to the next level, we have to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes God will make us uncomfortable because he wants to move us to a place of deeper love and intimacy with him. That's exactly what I experienced in leaving my secular career to speak full time.
Yeah, well, and when we're in a sorrowful place, and granted, I'm hindsight of my own life and anything that anyone shares with me that's going on in their lives. But to me, sitting in the joyful place is the only way to let go of the sorrow. Because if I'm not hopeful for what's coming, then I'm just wallowing. It's like a dirty sponge sitting in the sink and there's no dish soap. There's no cleanly water. It's just filth. And it's too exhausting to sit in that sorrow. And I hate when I've gone through things that are my fault or the things going on in my family's lives that I cannot control. And 9 times out of 10, I can't. But I believe that when we choose that joy, when we say my happenstance, my happiness is based on that I am choosing to live in what God is taking me to, I don't think we can hit that hard enough, because if I don't want to get to the other side of the thing, God worked, and then I'm too exhausted to enjoy it.
I mean, I like that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I like that. It can be exhausting, you know, wallowing in sorrow. You know, I'm not talking about self-pity. Now, obviously, everybody's going to experience some level of sadness.
Sure.
Right? We're going to have people in our lives that are going to die, to pass away, which is part of life. And there's a deep sadness that goes along with that. No question, no doubt. You know, but we can't stay there, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. We can't stay there. Why? Because Jesus gives us the hope in the resurrection, right? We're in the Easter season right now, the season of resurrection, the season of new life. You know, and it's hard to see beyond the pain. It's hard to see beyond the sorrow. But beyond that pain, beyond that sorrow lies a light, lies a joy, lies a peace. And God says, just a little longer, just a little further,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'll arrive at the place where you've been looking for. But sometimes we just get impatient and we stop.
Yeah.
We stop moving forward and we get stuck, or we fall under the weight of the cross and can't get up again. Jesus got up and kept moving forward. He knew it was coming. You know, sometimes you wish that Jesus would have thrown the fight, you know, just fell down and said, I'm just going to stay down,
Yeah. You
know, because I know what's coming. You know, the longer I stay down, you know, but no, he picked it up and he kept going. He kept going. Why? Because it's he's doing the Father's will. And St. Paul says how the work of Christ was perfected because of the suffering that he endured.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to see our suffering and our sorrow. This song beautifully brings out, we have to see our sorrow within that context of recognizing that it's through sorrow that we come to perfection, a maturity in our faith and maturity in our life.
Yeah. And it's also our evangelistic tool, right? It's the thing that we show God has helped me through this situation, or I'm going through this and I'm leaning into God. Like, that is a living, walking testimony. And so many times I hear, well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't know how to share the gospel with people. It's like, just tell your story. Just talk about your sorrow, or talk about a song that has impacted you at your low spot to bring you into a place where it becomes your anthem, where every time you hear it, it doesn't take you back and you mourn. Not that your emotions aren't real and valid, as we were saying earlier, but after you've felt them and you've seen God working, or you see him at work, then that immediately excites people for their own sorrow, because they go, I want what you have.
Yeah, would love to hear from you, to share your experience with us today on Beacon of Truth. Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at a song called Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys from the film from the year 2000, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Would love to hear from you, as Ace and I are having this discussion about the lyrics of this song and how God wants to bring us to a place out of this sorrow. This is a man in a place of constant sorrow, but because he's looking to get out of the sorrow. But the only way that we can do that as people of faith is by deepening our relationship with Jesus Christ and not giving up on the hope. That's why we look at the crucifix, because we know, yes, I'm on the cross right now, but the cross is not the end. Would love to hear for you to share your experience with us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right. And it continues. It's fare thee well, my old true lover. I've never expected to see you again. You know, and maybe that lover is God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and say, you know, Lord, I'm in this place. And that happens sometimes. We get to a place where we're in this constant sorrow and it turns to anger.
Yeah.
Right. If we don't work through the sorrow, we don't try to understand that suffering can be salvific, that is a participation in the cross of Christ, then we become despondent. Then we can become angry. It's your fault, God.
Mm-hmm.
Look what you did. And we point fingers and blame. And so it says, I never expected to see you again. You know, I'll show you, God. I will stop practicing my faith. I will stop going to mass. I will stop doing this. Because it was almost like we're trying to get even with God.
Right.
You know? And so I think the lyrics here are very insightful.
Yeah, and I like, as the verse continues, I'm bound to ride this northern railroad, perhaps I'll die upon this train. And I like the analogy, at least my interpretation, again, not speaking for the artist or how someone else would hear it, but a train station representing life, right? We're on, you know, the whole point, you know, to quote Polar Express, the whole point is to get on, right? Because it's taking us to the thing, to get us out of old habits and old circumstances and say there is a destination. And then knowing which port is yours, to know which one to get off. And it may feel like, because constant sorrow can make us feel like, I'm just going to die on this train. I'm never going to get to where I always thought I would be. I'm never going to feel any relief whatsoever. When, again, even when we're angry at God and we turn away from God, He's right behind us. He's right there the whole time. He never leaves. We're the ones that turned our back on Him.
Yes.
And He's just waiting for us to turn back around, and He's got arms wide open. And I love that visual, because what better? I mean, when you see movies where there are train stations, people get off the train, there's family there to greet them, right? I mean, how amazing is that, to be greeted by our Lord after we just threw a tantrum? You know, and same way with our children, you know, they wanted that Snicker bar and you didn't get it for them at the store and they threw their body down, but yet you still love them. You still embrace them. They didn't get Snicker, but they still got your love. They still got your acceptance, your forgiveness, your grace. And that's what He comes to us with.
Yeah. And as the lyrics continue, you can bury me in Sunny Valley for many years. There I may lay. And you may learn to love another while I'm sleeping in my grave. Mm. Like, ooh,
yeah.
Wow. That mean, I think that verse really hit me of all the parts of this song.
Yeah.
You know, for us, the grave is not the end. So it's not trying to find a substitute for us. It's not that love ends with the grave. It's a conduit. It's a way of getting to experience the depth of the fulfillment of God's love for us, which is life with Him forever in heaven. But in order to get there, we have to die.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're sleep. And I love the way sleeping in the grave, mm-hmm. right? Because Jesus always thought of death as sleep.
Yes.
You know, I remember when He raised the 12-year-old girl from the dead, He goes, oh, she's not dead. She's asleep.
Yeah.
And they thought He was like, what's wrong with you? Of course she's dead. No, because you know, Jesus knows that death is not the end. And the same should be true for us, to have that kind of faith and hope.
Yeah. Well, and I love when you jump to the final verse. Maybe your friends will think I'm a stranger. My face will never see you anymore. But the one promise that is given, I'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Mm.
So even that, like, I mean, that is exactly all this song is just leading up to, is dumping
yep.
all of that and just like, all right, Lord, just let's go.
Yeah, I love that. And that's the goal,
yeah.
to be with our brothers and sisters on what the artist here says, God's golden shore, which of course is what? Heaven.
Yeah.
Now, he, of course, he's thinking of a beach, you know, some
right.
kind of, or like in that movie, Contact.
Hmm.
You remember, because when she falls through that machine, it kind of takes her through a wormhole
yeah.
to another part of the galaxy, and she's interacting with the aliens for the first time. But the aliens never—they reveal themselves like her father, and she's on a beach.
Yeah,
you know, and it kind of looks like, oh, is this heaven? Because you see all the stars around; it's this mm-hmm. magnificent thing. But remember, heaven is so far beyond anything we can even imagine.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says, eye has not ear, has not seen, ear has not heard. So man has not even imagined, you know, what's in store for him. And that's the goal. So we pray for all of our brothers and sisters, all the people that we love. And even, look, even our enemies, even people that we can't stand. We're supposed to pray and fast for them.
Yeah.
You know, the hope is that everybody, you know, God willing, may join us with heaven. These that's the hope. Now, of course, not everybody's going to be there. There are going to be people who are going to choose to say no to God.
Mm-hmm.
But we can pray and hope that, you know, through our witness, we can get as many people to Jesus as possible.
Yeah, and I think as we continue the Easter season, it's a great reminder that we're in celebration mode. You know, that when Jesus died on the cross, He took all of our shame, all of our sins, everything with Him. And God loved us enough to provide an entryway to finding out that you don't have to live in that sorrow anymore. And I hope that as we go through it, songs like this can remind us that that is still, I mean, we're still in that Easter season. So even if you didn't necessarily start that way, it doesn't mean you can't finish that way.
Yes. Amen. I love that. All right. Tomorrow, my friends, Mixing and Mastering Our Faith, our series about connecting our faith to, like, mixing and mastering a record, The Rhythm of Life Part 2. Now, remember, you can stream today's show as well as all of our EW10 radio offerings by visiting podcastcentralew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.